Eric?
So just to respond to your question earlier, it is possible that without tamoxifen, that the endocrine effect of chemotherapy is that much more important, and that in the setting of tamoxifen treatment, it actually isn't important.
So that would reduce the absolute benefit, but it shouldn't change the proportional benefit of chemotherapy. So it doesn't matter if you get a 5% risk of recurrence or 25% risk of recurrence because of tamoxifen or not tamoxifen.
It may be an overlapping benefit. You may be hitting the same target.
It may be two hormone therapies versus one, so you don't see it as an
end. I'll buy that, but not in postmenopausal.
Half of the patients were premenopausal.
Peter? Although the overview is always a murky way of looking at things, the overview says that there's no difference in chemotherapy response rate between ER-positive, PGR-positive, and EGR-positive, PGR-negative. And the overview says that chemotherapy adds to tamoxifen.
And the overview said that ER-negative benefited from tamoxifen, too.
No, at 5 years, it does not say that for overall survival.
But overview also, it's important to maybe bring it out, is that when you compare endocrine therapy alone to chemotherapy alone, endocrine therapy is superior than chemotherapy alone. But when you combine it, that is better than the chemotherapy alone. Because we did even a study at MD Anderson, because I at that time was convinced that chemotherapy is much better. So we compared tamoxifen to anthracycline-based chemotherapy with FAC. It was a small study because we could not randomize the patients. But in the end, tamoxifen still looks superior in that study compared to the anthracycline-based chemotherapy.
Does the Taylor trial that you're talking about include premenopausal women?
Yes.
You'll never answer the question unless you have enough to analyze the postmenopausal group totally separately. It's totally confounded by the endocrine effects, and I think it's impossible to interpret.
George, you want to respond to that?
Well, it's a large study. We'll have 4,500 randomized patients, so hopefully we'll have some numbers to be able to answer Kent's question.
John?
The two things are not additive, right? You get a bit more when you give the second over the first. One of the problems I see with this whole question is that it comes back to this question again of relative and absolute risk reductions and the type of ER that you're treating. On one hand, you want the biggest group of people, the biggest risk you can get, to get the biggest effect if you're going to show the additive effect of chemotherapy over hormone therapy. The problem is, when you get into those higher risk groups, by definition, they tend to be grade 3 patients. And the ER-positive grade 3 cancer may not be the same hormone responsiveness as a grade 1 ER-positive cancer. And so you're into this question of being more hormone responsive but less risk, as against less hormone responsive but greater risk. And that's a much more complex question than simply saying, let's give hormone to chemo to all patients and see if one adds to the other. And I think it needs much more teasing out in the biology of this rather than simply saying, let's give two things to all people and see if it works.
One of the practical implications of the discussion we're having is this is why community oncologists just give chemo to a lot of patients. It's because it's almost impossible to sort all this out in any clinically reasonable time frame for a patient encounter. And something that really would be wonderful to have would be strategies, whether it's Adjuvant Online or other tools to facilitate that, because we can't tackle this in an hour, and there's no way that in the community anybody is spending more than 10 minutes with the average patient having conversations about whether or not to give chemotherapy.
Cliff? The crux of the issue, I just would say, is the testing. It's not the oncologist's office. It's that everything in this discussion relies on accurate, reproducible ER and PR testing, and without that, you don't have any bricks to build your house.
Final comment, John?
It's not enough to say that we know we can't do this. This is probably the most important question that we have, which is at the moment in hormone-responsive patients. Does chemotherapy add to hormone therapy? If it doesn't, then that's got a huge implication for patients. And even if you only take out 30% of the positive patients who it doesn't, that's a huge implication for patients. And what you then do is you put most of your benefit you've been distributing over the whole positive group, you put that benefit into the 70% who are truly benefiting. So it is a difficult question, but we need to address it.